Well, good morning, church. It's wonderful to be with you. This whole time I've been kind of behind the camera, helping out behind the scenes, and I really want to tell you that I've been really blessed with you guys in comments and just sharing stuff and being a part. It does, even though it's like not quite the same thing or even close to the same thing, it really does feel like still some church. You know, we've got our community of people and we're hanging out in the best way that we can. I just really love your guys' hearts. So thanks for tuning in and being a part of all of this. Why don't you go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Short testimony time while you're turning there. I was, believe it or not, raised in a Christian home. And I'm really grateful for that. My mom and dad honestly were awesome. I love them so much. They did a great job. And they always told me, of course, that like they told me the gospel, but they also told me that I needed to decide for myself or like choose it for myself. God has no grandchildren in that sense. And I accepted the Lord when I was younger, and I've been imperfect, and of course, in lots of different ways, but when I got out of high school, I wanted to kind of figure out what the Lord would have me do, and was trying to, you know, figure out in a lot of ways, as we still are, how do you hear the will of the Lord, and what would you do, you know, what do you want me to do? And I eventually ended up going to the Bible college, and that was what the Lord showed me to do. And the Lord, I think, it's interesting because you make that transition, right, from in high school, and I work with the high schoolers and the junior high, you're kind of like, you are making your own decisions, but you're still underneath, right, your family. But then you graduate and you go to college, and you're kind of on your own, you're independent. Even though I'm here still on the same campus, it really was kind of, it was a lot more independent. And so I'm making my own decisions about my faith, and it was interesting to me. You know, I've had lots of struggles, but as I got to Bible college, I was making that decision like in my own time to be earnest about my faith and to say, this really is going to be what I'm going to do with my life. Like, I really believe this. And going through Bible college, it was interesting that the Lord allowed this season to come in, and that's kind of what we're going to address in Ephesians, of me realizing that I was really imperfect. And I would be in the midst of Bible college, and I'm trying to follow the Lord with my whole heart, but I would get to this, and I would wake up late, you know, because I'm up hanging out with my friends, and then I wouldn't do my devotions, I guess, that morning. And so I, instead of, you know, walking in the freedom of Christ and being like, okay, I'll just do them later, I would kind of get to this place where I would beat myself up a little bit, you know, and just be like, oh, you know, I'm a terrible Christian. How could I not do my devotions this morning or whatever? And this wasn't anything like I would, you know, I talked to my dad about it or whatever. He'd be like, dude, Jesus loves you. It's fine. Just read them later in the day. It's not that big of a deal. But for me, for some reason, like I just really struggled with that. And so I would feel like I wasn't. And so I would try and do stuff to make up for it, you know. And it was this whole dependence on myself, this cycle of where I took my faith off of the Lord and put it on my own works. In my, I suppose, attempt to be earnest, you know, and attempt to be real. And the Lord taught me a lot through that time. Every time I would go to the Lord in prayer, and I really kind of, it spiraled me for a long time. And the Lord would say kind of two things to me anytime I prayed. You know, he'd be like, I love you. And I would always feel like I had blown it in some way and hadn't gotten something done or hadn't prayed enough or wasn't holy enough or was, you know, did this thing. And it just, I just really had a hard time. And I was just looking at my own works, and I think rightly so. If we all look at our works, it's Romans chapter 7, right? And how wretched man that I am. But the Lord kind of would say, one, I love you. And that would, I just, every time. And that I feel like was my main message out of Bible college from the Lord was that Jesus loves me. And then the second thing was this interesting thing of, oh, where's your faith? And I thought that was really interesting because I was like, Lord, this is me having faith. You know, like I'm trying to follow you with my works and I'm messing it up and I'm beating myself. And I would see kind of beating myself up as a virtue almost. And the Lord was like, no, you have little faith. I love you. And you just need to hold on to that, that it's me. My works are enough. You know, like what I did is enough. And through all of Bible college, I learned so many different things. But that was kind of the main thing of just going back to the fact that it's all about what Jesus has done. And our righteousness has nothing to do with ourselves. Obviously, we want to honor the Lord in what we do. but it has everything to do with what God has done for us. And we rest in that. You know, and I'm still very imperfect, as any of you know who hang out with me. But man, it is a peaceful thing when we go, it's about Jesus and what he's done. I saw this, and the Lord really taught this to me in a big way in the class Ephesians, particularly out of this first chapter. And so I just wanted to share with you this lesson that I felt like was so big in my own life, if that's all right. Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to pay attention to something as we read. We'll start in verse 3. Look for the past tense verbs. Past tense. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The first past tense verb, we have been blessed. The reason that I bring this up is because this isn't something as believers that we have to earn. This is something where when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we recognize the gospel, it is part of salvation. Every other work of man, as we know, and if you've been in the Sunday sessions or the apologetics classes, all of them are built around either denying the work that needs to be done, saying that there is no guilt of man, or it's trying to earn their way back to forgiveness or salvation or oneness or repentance. As believers, we start there. We are forgiven. It's finished. The work is done. And the blessings that we have in Christ here that we'll see aren't things that we have to earn. They're things that are given to us at the moment that we accept the work of Christ done in our lives. And all of these things are so big. First, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have many spiritual blessings given to us in Christ. And he's going to go through and kind of explain some. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see some past tense verbs in there? There's a lot, actually. The first one, he says that he chose us in him. You are chosen by God. God wants you on his team. I remember one time in elementary school some year. I honestly, as you all know, many of you guys saw me grow up, and so you already know this, but it was a surprise to me when I got older that I was an absolute dweeb. I mean, a total dork. And I thought that I was this really athletic thing, especially when I was in elementary school. And we played dodgeball one time for gym, and we all line up on the wall, you know, and there's two captains, and they're picking teams, and I'm like, yes, dodgeball. I'm so agile, you know, and so quick and whatever, and they start picking people, and I'm like, I'm going to get picked first, and I didn't get picked first, you know, and then I get, you know, and it goes through, and I was the second to last person picked, and I was like, all right, at least I'm not that guy, but that's mean. And it was like, man, I thought I was, you know, what is this? That's not us with the Lord. God isn't like, with you, you know, I guess I'll pick you, you know, last of all. No, you were chosen by him. God wants you on his team. He loves you. He selected you before the foundation of the world. That's when God was thinking about it. You know, first pick. And that's us. We are chosen by God. I think that as we'll go through this, there are needs that every single one of us has in our heart. I can share with you guys at some point if you want, but I've talked about it a little bit before. The youth group and my vision for it. And one of the things that I have is in my vision for the youth, the things that I pray for them, is that they would go to God rather than to the world for the needs of their heart. And we have tons of needs in our hearts, and all of them I think are legitimate, like a need for acceptance, a need to be loved, a need to, you know, feel chosen and wanted. And when we go to the world, we mess ourselves up so often, trying to fill those needs from the world, but we have the solution and to them all in Christ. You are chosen by God. You are wanted. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You know, guilt is something that so many people struggle with their whole lives. And God certainly uses guilt, but it's not meant to be something that dominates us. How do we find forgiveness? Well, the world would say either you don't have sin or there is no forgiveness. And if neither of those solve anything, but God has offered us forgiveness in Christ. How do you get that? You have it. you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, I'll be fast. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You are predestined to be adopted. You belong to God and his family. And we so often want belonging, and we have this sense of like, I want to be a part of something, and that can drive us to such great evil. But I want to tell you, believer, that you do belong. You don't have to earn this. You already have it in Christ. Adoption as sons, you belong in the family of God. Make that, help, Lord, help us make that the satisfaction to that deep need in our heart of belonging. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You are accepted by God. You don't have to earn that exception. You have it, you know? And I love this so often, you know? We have these deep needs, and I think it's true for certain that many of us struggle with certain, you know, needs deep in our heart more than other people. Some people really are insecure about, you know, they need to feel, and I don't mean that in a demeaning way, because we all have them, myself included, where I need to feel like I belong, or I need to feel useful, or whatever. And so some of these will resonate, I think, with some people more than others. But regardless, this is where the solution to all of them is, right here. You belong in the family of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And I'll finish with this, but you can go through and study this on your own if you want, and look at all the past tense verbs in Ephesians, really chapter 1 through 3, all the way through. But you have forgiveness of sins, but you have redemption through his blood. Redemption meaning to purchase, to buy back. And it speaks to me of value above all. You know, I've talked so many times in church about how much I love Teslas, and I still do, honestly. And if I walked in and I tried to give them, I say, this pebble in my hand is my payment for this Tesla. Please give me a Tesla. I want a Model 3. They won't accept it. Obviously, they'll laugh me out this store, because the pebble is not valuable as the Tesla is. I have to give something of equivalent value in order to get that from them. So you can see the value of a thing by what a person will pay for it, right? What is our value? Well, we are redeemed through his blood. You are infinitely, deeply valuable, so much so that God was willing to spend his own blood to buy you back for himself. And I just want to encourage you and all of us to rest in that finished work. That is not something that you have earned. That is something that God has declared. If you don't feel valuable, you're wrong. So much of the time, and it's true that we have our own opinions, and we just have to take God's truth and smash it on top of our own feelings and say, no, it doesn't matter what I feel. It matters what's true. And we hold on to that. You are valuable in the eyes of God, deeply, infinitely valuable, worth his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, and he has made known to us the mystery of his will. You are worth guiding. He has made known to you the mystery of his will. And so as you go through this, feel free to study, but I just want to encourage you this morning. I have a full list of kind of what I've seen in the first few verses, but you are accepted, you are forgiven, you belong, you have value, you have purpose. I love this one, especially out of his will, because the world has no idea what purpose is. We have purpose in God, in Christ. You have security, knowing that you have an inheritance in heaven, and you have the love of God. And so I just want to encourage all of us to rest in that, myself included, in what God has done, not by any of our works, but because he loves us. Why does he love us? You know, he decided to. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that awesome? Man, nothing else is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but man, God is. And that's awesome. So, hey, if you're bored today, read Ephesians chapter 1. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these truths, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that speaks and has revealed these things to us. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us. As it says in Matthew chapter 1, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. I pray that you would help us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord, in the midst of this time. But Lord, I thank you for the fact that you love us and that we are accepted and we are valued and we are secure and we have purpose and all of these things, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to rest in that. But would you give us even today more of a consciousness of all these things? And would you just bless us and give us peace in the midst of these truths? So we love you, we praise you, and pray that you bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a pleasure joining with you guys. We're going to be doing this every single morning until we can't. With the order by Governor Holcomb, I believe that we are considered an exception as a religious organization, so we will still be broadcasting. As far as I know, we're going to make decisions on this later, so maybe I'm speaking ahead of time, but 10 a.m. every time. I have this document that's kind of a breakdown, a little bit of my vision for the youth in Ephesians 1. If you want it, feel free to put it in the comments or text, and I'll send out a PDF. See you guys.